Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Chaim Schmidt from the Kosher Scene. You may see our blog at kosherscene.wordpress.com. That's kosherscene.wordpress.com. This evening's show was pre-recorded at last evening's event presented by the Kosher Wine Society, New Wines for the New Year. I have been to many wine tastings. Never have I ever had the pleasure of being at a wine tasting that not only combined wines, not only combined assorted cheeses, pizza, nuts, and other little foods presented by Roma Pizzeria, but it was also an evening of art and an evening with a cookbook author. We will speak about our guests within a few minutes. Let me start by saying that although we made quite a few recordings last evening, we interviewed quite a few individuals. Two of them will be our guests immediately after the Chagim, and the rest you will hear tonight. Let us start with our first guest.
And my first guest for the evening is June Hirsch, who has written two cookbooks. Let's hear what they are about, what is the difference, and why every Jewish home should have both those cookbooks. Good evening, Mrs. Hirsch.
Hi there, good evening, and please feel free to call me June. This is a nice, comfortable, Hamisher interview, and so we can keep it nice and light. Pleasure speaking to you tonight. I'm thrilled to be here talking about both Recipes Remembered, A Celebration of Survival, which is my first cookbook that came out in May of 2011, and it was written to benefit the Museum of Jewish Heritage, a living memorial to the Holocaust. And on the heels of that book, while I was waiting for it to be published, because I have to be busy, I wrote The Kosher Carnivore. After researching Recipes Remembered and writing the recipes and learning how exciting it is to cook in the kosher tradition, I realized there was really a need for a book that was a meat Bible of sorts for whether you are kosher curious, kosher clueless, or kosher committed. And that's how The Kosher Carnivore came to be.
What are the main differences between Recipes Remembered and Kosher Carnivore?
Well, they are two very distinctly different books because they come from very different perspectives. Recipes Remembered is based on interviews that I conducted with over 80 Holocaust survivors. I spoke to either the survivor themselves or their families, and I recorded their stories, and I recreated their cherished recipes, finding that food is just an amazing thread that's woven through all of our lives, and it brings us from our childhood through our adult life and to the way we nourish and nurture our own families. And I found that in speaking to the Holocaust survivor community, who are an amazing group of people, they have a strength and a resilience that is really unparalleled. But in speaking to them, they were all able to talk to me about their wonderful memories when they were children and the foods that they ate, and how their mothers chose who was a balabusta by how they baked the challah and who made the noodles for kugel that evening. And those were the stories that put these survivors very much at ease. And we then told their stories through the Holocaust, which were, of course, painful and unimaginable. And the same thread of food took us from the Holocaust to the present time and helped us explore some of the beautiful traditions that we celebrate as families, as Jewish families. So that was the perspective of Recipes Remembered. And I'm very pleased to say that we are now in our third printing, and every single penny from that book, which has totaled over 70,000 in proceeds, because we've sold over $250,000 in books, I have given back to the Museum of Jewish Heritage. So it just feels really good to honor the legacy of the Holocaust community while doing something really important for the Museum of Jewish Heritage, which is to help them perpetuate their educational programs and what they do to teach us tolerance.
June, would you share one of the stories that touched you?
Oh, well, it is so hard to choose one, and what I find so astounding is this is a community that shared an experience, yet no two stories were the same, and some focused on resourcefulness, and others focused on fate and luck, going to the left line instead of the right, having the wherewithal to one woman to put on her aunt's high-heeled shoes so she looked older and taller, and she was spared. You hear stories like this that you just cannot believe that people endured. And while I know there are some, unfortunately, who can deny that this ever took place, you cannot help but give such credibility to every lesson we've learned. I love the stories of Beshert. I love the Mentabees. I love the story of Nadia Bergson and Ada Ehrlich, two women who were in Auschwitz together. They were part of the only uprising to take place in Auschwitz. And after the war, they found each other again one day on a street in Manhattan. They bumped into each other. Who would have thought? And they rekindled their friendship, because what I found is that when you lose your family, you make family among strangers. And that is what these two women did. And so they became each other's families, and they celebrated each other's simchas together, and celebrated bar mitzvahs and brises and life cycle events. And as would have it, one moved away, and years went by. And her granddaughter, Ada's granddaughter, went to Syracuse University, and she began dating a young man who went to Ithaca College. And months went by, and they got together with their families, and they realized she was Ada's granddaughter. He was Nadia's grandson. And I listen to things like that, and I say, what a meant to be that these two women endured the most unfathomable episode that you can imagine. They reconnected on a street in New York. Their grandchildren came together. They became engaged, and both women knew it. They became married, and one of them was here for the wedding. And years later, they had twins, and they named one for Nadia and one for Ada. And it's a story that I feel defines the book, because the book talks about meant to be. These people, these men and women, were meant to survive so that we could hear them, so that they could be the voice for all those voices that were silenced. And that's why it's imperative that everyone tells these stories and shares them, so that we give a legacy and we honor the Holocaust survivor community. That's what the book is about. It happens to have amazing recipes, food that I tested and tried over and over again to perfect the recipes. But the book is about the people. And that's what I'd love everyone to take away with them from reading it and listening to this segment.
As for your other book, your new book, I assume, The Kosher Carnivore, with all the kosher cookbooks specializing in meat, why is your book different? What, aside from what you said about recipes, remember, there is no question that anybody, whether they want to cook themselves or not, would want such a book. Now, tell me what is special about the Kosher Carnivore.
Well, I can start at the very beginning. I am admittedly not kosher. And what I found so interesting in cooking in the kosher style traditions, which my mother grew up in an Orthodox home and was raised kosher, is not the sacrifices that are made, but it's the mindfulness and the commitment to following these amazing set of rules, because it says so, because it reminds you every day, every moment, every meal of your Jewishness. So there are an awful lot of cookbooks out there that feature kosher food, but there are none that are only focused on meat and poultry. There are none that serve as a primer for anyone who's just getting started and needs a little kosher 101, or anyone who has been cooking in the kosher tradition for all their lives. There is no book that empowers the consumer and tells you how to walk into that butcher shop and how to turn to that butcher and say, I need that rib steak cut 1.5 inches thick. I need you to cut it from the third rib because I like the meaty side. I need you to make sure that you leave me the top of the rib because that is so succulent and delicious, and that's what's going to help moisten and marinate the meat as it cooks. There's no book that tells you that. There's no kosher cookbook out there that says to the kosher cook, if you don't want to buy a veal roast to make that recipe, well, you can substitute a lamb roast, and it's going to either save you money or cost you more money. And when you substitute the lamb roast, this is what you're going to ask your butcher to do. And if you don't want to use lamb, I'll tell you how to make it with chicken. There is no cookbook out for the kosher consumer that does that. What I love and what I learned to do and what I found to be so really delicious is all of the sides in the book are parv. And I don't know another book that has 120 delicious meat and poultry dishes, but every single side can be eaten with every main course because there is not an ounce of butter, there is not an ounce of cream, even in the magnificently creamy mashed potatoes and the absolutely delicious cream spinach, not a drop of cream or butter. So you could truly prepare every dish in this book, put it all on one table, and not break a single law. That's unique. Filled with advice, filled with tips and techniques. And what brought me here tonight is one of the really cool aspects of the book, because I think it's really important to know what you don't know. And I know I don't know wine. And so I consulted Aaron Ritter from the Kosher Wine Society, and he gave us wine advice on what wines to pair with what meats. I know that I don't know every cookware gadget that's on the market, but the Broadway Panhandler does. So they told me what pan to roast it with, what pan to sear your steak in. And then I had a knife guru, and he told me what knife to carve it with. So whoever has this book in their kitchen, they are truly taken from the first step to serving with experts guiding them along the way. Makes it a very unique book. I like to say it's a really fabulous cookbook that happens to be kosher. And not just for the kosher consumer, for anyone who wants just really delicious food.
Thank you very much, June. There is no question that now those books have both whetted my appetite and my interest both for the stories and for the recipes. I'm going to have to try them. I'm going to have to review them on our blog.
I appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Last evening I picked up both books. We bought both books, and this morning I had a chance to look through Recipes Remembered. The writing is absolutely beautiful. Stories will at times have you crying and at times fill you with hope. In fact, every one of them fills you with hope. There is no question that Miss Hirsch wrote it from the heart. We are told, Dvarim ayotzim min halev, nechnasim el halev. Words that come out of the heart penetrate the heart. Reading this book, not only will you want those recipes, but reading the stories of the survivors who got those recipes, you'll be filled with hope, you'll be filled with awe. My next guest was a young, recent graduate of the Fashion Institute of Technology, FIT, here in Manhattan. Her name is Arianna Santoriello, a mixed media artist. If you go to our blog, you will see a photo of some of her art. And I do not pretend by any means that photography does it any justice. In fact, between the poor lighting and the non-studio conditions. It will give you a very, very poor representation, a very poor idea of her color effects. Nevertheless, you'll be able to form some idea of a young artist where the fire of inspiration is already burning within her. Here is Arianna Santoriello, a mixed media artist.
My next guest for the evening is Ariela Centoriello, one of the artists that's exhibiting here at this wine tasting, at this superb wine tasting.
Ariana.
Good evening, Ariela.
Hi. Hello. Good evening.
Tell us a little bit about what makes you tick, what it is that makes you want to paint.
What makes me want to paint? Well, it always seems like just something that needs to come out, an expression of myself, whether it's painting or collaging. There's just always new materials I have that I need to interact with. I need to combine them some way and see how they work. I'm very inspired when I see different graphs, different charts, when I see how different things are mapped out. I like the idea of cataloging different things and charting them with colors and creative ways. Color is really what makes me tick, just putting different colors together, contrasting colors, colors that are similar, and just watching how they harmonize.
What were some of your inspirations? Who is it that you look up to? Who do you consider your spiritual artistic mentors?
My artistic mentors, definitely Sheila Hicks is one of mine. She's a fiber artist. She works with fabric and a lot of fibers. I also really like the architect, Hunter Twasser, his name is. A lot of his buildings are just very curvy. It looks like he didn't have any real architectural plan. He just kind of sketched out the building and they built it exactly like that. Artists I like, I really love Chuck Close. I'm inspired by his geometry. Those are some of my favorites.
Okay, thank you very, very much. It's been a pleasure talking to you.
Thank you.
One of the interesting things about Ms. Santoriello's art, while she was talking to my co-blogger, SYR, she told her that she draws a lot of inspiration from Shabbat. Shabbat, as she withdraws from the daily routine, as she becomes at peace with herself, that is one aspect of her art that she always keeps in mind. She always tries to draw something that will express her inner feelings and bring her to peace, to inner peace. Very impressive for such a young person to produce such art. I have no doubt she will reach great heights and will command some real expensive prices soon as we see her work throughout the local galleries and eventually throughout museums. Good luck, Ariana. Next, our guest is Ruti Schwartz, a wine distributor.
My next guest for the evening is Ruti Schwartz from Happy Hearts Wines Distributors. Ruti, what are some of the latest wines, some of the special wines for the new year?
Well, I have many of them. I choose to talk about three of them. The first one I will talk about will be the Tigris, which is a Cabernet Sauvignon Semi. Very fruity on the nose, done by Oda Mountain Winery. It is a sequel, basically, to our first semi we did, or actually they did for us. They're a boutique winery in the Upper Golan Heights, close fam- family, a very family-oriented type of winery, meaning they do not release anything that they believe is beneath them. They, in Israel in general, they don't do semi-wines, but we requested for this community to have a semi. So they did a Lioness for us, which is also a Cabernet Sauvignon, but is drier than the Tigris. The Tigris came upon request of customers who liked the Lioness. The Tigris is a very fruity, robust with fruits on the nose. It has a lot going on as far as raspberries, maybe strawberries, and strong Cabernet grapes. It has a nice long finish. It is a all day around wine. You could have it on its own or with cheese or chicken or fish, whatever you like. Does not have any tannins. The Tigris is a very nice wine to drink whenever. Then I have the Elima. The Elima is done by Oraganuz. It's deep red in color, but that's not what I was going to talk about. I was going to talk about the fact that it is sulfite-free wine. Now, we all know wine cannot be sulfite-free totally, but legally speaking, we can not add sulfites and call it sulfite-free. And this is exactly what we did. It is a full-body wine, very, very agreeable on the palate. It has low on the tannins, goes great with steak or chicken. The only downside to the Elima is the fact that it has a very short shelf life, which is 3 years, because of no sulfites added. For anyone out there who has allergies to sulfites, this is your wine. Go get it and enjoy it. The third wine I was going to talk about would be the third wine I'm going to talk about is a wine done by Bravda Winery. Bravda Winery is in the Beth Shemesh area, in the Karmei Yosef area next to Jerusalem. The Shiraz is new to our selection of their of the Bravda wines. It's their second kosher vintage. What makes this Shiraz very unique is its balance between the fruitiness and the tannins and the spice. Usually you would expect a Shiraz to be ultra spicy but then not have the fruit that this one has. This one balances it all together beautifully. On the back palate, it has, aside from spice, a very nice, strong, overpowering fruit, robust taste. It's a wine you would want to have from cheese to your maybe not so spicy steak or chicken. Enjoy it.
Thank you very much, Ruthie. It was a pleasure talking to you as always.
Thank you.
Among the wines that were at the tasting, both SYR and I agreed our favorite was the Borgo Reale Signi line Brunello di Montalcino 2005. I had already tasted it during Pesach and I found it far, far better. In fact, if I had put this bottle next to the bottle I had on Pesach, compared today's bottle next to that one, even though it's the same vintage, the same bottled at the same time, I would have almost believed that this was a different wine. Far, far better. At the time, I reviewed it as a variety of the Sangiovese grape, floral and fruity on the nose. Its flavor suggests plums, berries, and minerals, with subtle hints of coffee and tobacco leading to a long finish. This time, I can also add that the flavors are so much stronger, so much better. Among the other people that we spoke to was my very dear friend, Gary Lanzmann, from Royal Wine Corporation. Among the selections that I tasted with him were the Carmel Appellation Sauvignon Blanc, and we compared it to the Goose Bay a New Zealand winery, Sauvignon Blanc. What I always liked, the Carmel appellation, Sauvignon Blanc, was a very interesting wine. I found the New Zealand selection a bit fruitier, more developed in flavor, and frankly, it was truly an education to see how the terroir makes a difference. Both of them are the same grape, grown thousands of miles apart, and it was hard to believe that the two wines were really from the same grape. The terroir is such a difference. The climate is such a difference. Both of them were outstanding wines, but my favorite was the Goose Bay. Other wines that we liked a lot were the Bravdo Shiraz. Found it a bit spicy, and yet the tannins were rather mild. An excellent wine, a superb wine that I would drink almost on any occasion. Other wines that I liked a lot were the Bartenura Ovadia Dolcetto d'Alba and the Rosso Toscano, also from Bartenura. There were some Yarden wines that were truly excellent, but Yarden has always been a superior boutique winery in Israel. The evening was put together by Aaron Ritter from the Kosher Wine Society and by Rabbi Michael Cohen from the Centre Culturel Juif Français. The Cultural Center, Cultural Jewish French Center of New York. They are on 67 Wall Street, and their mission is to welcome French speakers, whether they are permanent denizens of New York or whether they are just tourists. Among the artists that we spoke to was Esther Pam Zibel. Mrs. Zibel lives in Crown Heights, and her paintings are clearly influenced by Chaim Soutine and Marc Chagall. You will find that, like in Chagall's paintings, the colors are at times wild, strongly contrasting. Many things are happening on many planes. And the faces are very Soutine-like. Overall, all in all, it was a superb evening, very enjoyable. We've learned a lot about wine, about food writing, about art. A superb event, and I hope there will be many, many more. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. Wishing you all a good evening. And please, don't forget to visit us on our blog at kosherscene.wordpress.com. This is Chaim Schmidt, wishing a good evening to one and all. We will not be back next Wednesday or next week at all because of Rosh Hashanah. We will, however, be back on Wednesday the 5th. Until then, have a good evening. And thank you very much for listening. Good night to you all.